Well, here he is. We are delighted to have him join us, the coach of the Cards, Pat Kelsey. Pat, thank you. You know, whenever you have a guest on, you try and be polite, and you say, hey, gosh, thank you for spending some time with us. But in this case, I really am grateful because I don't know how you're squeezing us into your day when I've seen your schedule. You're like the Ted Lasso guy. He's here. He's there. He's every blank and where. He's Pat Kelsey. That is you, my friend. You are going a million miles an hour. So thanks for carving a few minutes out for us. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. It's an honor to be with you guys, Bob, Nikki. I feel like I'm talking to two Louisville legends.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Absolute honor, but thanks for having me.
All right, we'll send him a shirt. Send him a T-shirt. send Pat a T-shirt. Hey, I do want to ask you this. You've been coaching for a while. This isn't your first rodeo. This has got to be, though, given the bizarre stature of the whole portal thing and the NIL and the fact that by and large basically you got a whole blank slate. You've never had a preseason off season like this one, have you? This has got to be incredibly unique, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's kind of probably more the norm than the exception. Maybe not to this extent where you got to build sort of an entire roster, but you know it is a new time and a new era. You know, totally different than if you just go back 5 years, 6 years, or heck, even 4 years. In every major industry, whether it's the auto business, whether it's housing, whatever it is, there's shifts, there's seismic shifts that happen from time to time. And the key is being able to adjust and embrace those changes. So, you know, I say it all the time, there's probably a large faction of whether it's coaches in the profession or people in general that, you know, you yearn for the old days, right? This isn't the college athletics, college basketball, college football that I grew up with, that I know and love. But, you know, things change and industries change. And what we've tried to really do, you know, since this seismic shift has kind of happened and occurred with NIL and the transfer portal over the last 3 or 4 years, fellas, is tried to run toward it and tried to adapt, tried to embrace it and tried to be out in front. And use it as much as possible to our advantage. I still consider myself, you know, a young coach. Coach Prosser used to joke about the old guys in the business being dinosaurs, and I don't ever want to become a dinosaur, but I still have a long time left in this profession. I love what I do, and I look at this space and this new opportunity is an opportunity and an advantage. So that's how we're viewing it.
Let's talk about your roster a little bit here. Now, forgive me, but I believe I've got this right. I know when it's a high school recruit, you're not allowed to talk about them publicly until they sign their national letter of intent. But here, they don't do that with guys out of the portal. So I guess it's if they sign their financial aid paperwork or something. So, I mean, I don't know which guys have done that and which guys haven't. So I'm not trying to steer you down a road where you can't talk about guys. But let me start with a generic question I know you can't answer, and then maybe we'll get into some specifics. You clearly look like you have a type, and I mean that as a compliment. You want from looking at these guys all, whether they're guards or not, are seemingly willing passers. They like to pass the ball. They're unselfish players. They look like they give you good honest day's effort at the defensive end, and goodness knows you got some shooters in the bunch. So if you put that together, it looks like the other stuff, you know, you'll kind of figure out as you go along. Are those your top priorities, and how do you identify the guys that fit in to the way you want to play?
Yeah, it's a great question, and probably now's not the time to talk specifics because until we kind of get our entire group together, you know, probably won't go as much into
okay.
individuals.
Well, that's
specifics.
Fair enough. That's fine.
But I will say, you know, at this point, you know, we love where we're at, how these pieces are falling together. We are very intentional and specific as to what we look for in a player. You know, I love winners. Right. I love, you know, power of the unit is what we talk about all the time within our cultural blueprint. We talk about relentless effort, competitive excellence, and the power of the unit. You know, relentless effort, guys that are tough and that play hard, competitors. I think that's one of the qualities, you know, that I value the most. And then, you know, the power of the unit is guys that are committed to winning. Right. And in this new age, which probably is skewed more and going more toward a professional sports model. Obviously you have individuals just like you do in a professional locker room that have individual goals and aspirations from a personal standpoint. Heck, we all do. We all have egos. But I think the programs, you know, that are going to contend for championships obviously have to sign very talented players that fit their system, but they also have to sign people that are and bring people in your organization that are willing to give of themselves for the good of the team. I think the programs, the coaches, the staffs, they're going to be able to galvanize groups, create a common mission, a common bond, and fight like heck every day. And have excellence in what you do every day to pursue winning is very much important. You know, obviously there's measurable metrics, statistics that we look at, we value. I'm a baseball guy. I'm from Cincinnati. I loved the movie Moneyball, and I read the book Moneyball before the movie, Billy Beane. I just remember reading that a long time ago, and, you know, I just said, man, how can you apply that to basketball? And I think we have our way. We have our metrics, and we've utilized that for the majority of the 12 years that I've been a head coach to identify who fits in our system. But then there's things that you can't measure, Bob, as well, right? Things that are intangible, value, toughness, competitiveness, basketball IQ. Do they make people around them better? And then are they adaptable? Do they have adaptability, right? That's just that thing, that it inside them where games on the line, big moments, that's when they're at their best. It's 4th-and-3. Play breaks down. Can you get the stinking first down? So combination of things that you can measure and things that you can't. You mentioned the pace, or you didn't mention that, but obviously we play at a great pace. We value shooting, but we really value basketball IQ and the ability to pass as well. I love guys that can facilitate pass and share the ball.
You know, you talked about adaptability, though, and I think I've heard this from some mutual friend, that when you played against Villanova in the NCAA tournament, the way they played influenced you a bit. And to that end, they played. I mean, there were times when, I guess it was when Jay Wright was there, it looked like they were trying to compete in the 6 foot and under league. I mean, they were tiny, but they spread the floor and they had a bunch of guys who could shoot it. And it impacted you. Are you a walking example of what you're talking about, adapting to, you know, changing your own opinions or outlook? Because you had success. It wasn't like you weren't winning, but you made adaptations, didn't you?
I don't think there was any major shift. The time we played Villanova, I mean, we have a philosophy that believe in, and it's been very, very, very successful for us. And every great program has their deal, right? I think any organization, they have a DNA. They have something at their core that they're about. And there wasn't any type of major shift in kind of offensive or defensive philosophy. I just have so much respect for Coach Wright and did such a deep dive and a study on them going into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I always say about their teams, the beauty's in their simplicity. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the most complicated system in the world, but what they do it great. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Wright read his books, right? Watched his tapes, and amongst other things, I just remember how they make the simple spectacular, right? For instance, their catches, right? Every single catch, he always says you're most open when you first catch the ball. And if you look at his Villanova team's play, they're so attack ready, so shot ready on every single catch. And then they make the simple play. They have what I call 0.8 catches, right? They make quick decisions with the ball. The ball moves, people move. They do so many simple things, but do them well. They play so well off penetration. They play off two in the lane. They're and amongst anything, and this is something that's really at the core of what I believe is, you know, he's a guy that believes that culture eats strategy for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of the Villanova culture, the belief, the buy-in, whether they had 5 McDonald's All-Americans or not, there was just such a connectivity amongst their team. And I got a lot of respect for him and how he runs his program. And, you know, we try to mirror that. And I thought we tried to mirror that before we even played them. But no doubt, respect the heck out of them. Playing against them even raised that respect level.
Pat Kelsey's with us here. That leads to a question that, before I ask it, it's probably unanswerable, but I'll throw it out there. if that is such an important part of a winning culture and has been for the teams that you've coached, how do you know when you have to bring this many new guys in that they're all going to buy into your culture? How can you ascertain?
Yeah, I mean, you got to peel away the onion, and you'd be amazed at the amount of due diligence. And I don't know if everybody does this, but we sure as heck do. Like, that's why I said it's more than just analytical metrics, and that is obviously a big part of that. You have names that go into the portal, you're pouring through over the course of the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it's been since, you know, the portal opened, a lot of names, a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics, and you can comb through it and pull out guys that you think analytically really fit with you. But it's all those other things. How do you find those things out about? You got to make your calls. Mm-hmm. You got to go through the reference check, not even the given references. You got to call people that just know them, have been around them, and have coached them, and have coached against them. And sometimes it's just off the beaten path of basketball. You know, you talk to the academic advisor. I want to talk to the strength coach. I want to talk to the team doctor. You know, I'm not saying every time we recruit a kid, we're making every one of those calls.
Right.
But you want to find about their makeup, right? Their character, what makes them tick. Are they team-oriented? What's the resiliency like? Their toughness, their tenacity, their team-oriented approach. So, yeah, I don't know if everybody does it as much as we do, but I can tell you we go to great lengths to make sure we're bringing guys into organization that fit. Talent, obviously huge. Production, obviously huge. But those other things matter.
Well, you talked about it earlier. We can't get into specific guys, but I've heard some names bandied about, and I can only tell you this, having broadcast some of those guys' games during the year, the one other consistency I see, in addition to guys that are willing passers and those other things we talked about, all these guys come from winning programs. You're not involved with anybody who's not coming from teams that won a bunch of games, went to the NCAA tournament. That I gather, is very important to you, and it should be. What do you make of that part of your evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, I think winning guys, it's in your DNA, right? If you come from winning programs, winning cultures, you know what it takes. That's not to say there's not diamonds in the rough. There's winning-type kids with winning DNA. They're at a program where maybe their record wasn't the best because of circumstances, because of other things. But I love winners. I love guys, you know, that have that mentality, for sure.
To that end, sensitive question, but I get asked all the time, so I'll go right to the source. Did you try to convince any of the players who were on last year's team to stay, or did you want to start from scratch? How did you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I got here, virtually every player was in the portal already, so they were already exploring, you know, their options, and obviously what's best for them as individuals and for their future is the most important thing. And the majority of those guys had already kind of turned their attention to exploring other options. I had an opportunity to meet with the team and then talk to individuals to see what was best for them and what was best for us. But, very appreciative, and I think everybody around here is, for the young men that have been on the roster and have been here and what they've done. You know, to serve this university and this athletic department, although the last couple of years have been tough, those young men poured their heart and soul into Louisville basketball, and for that we're very, very appreciative.
Are the two walk-ons coming back, Hersey Miller and McCool, or Aiden McCool, or not? So I get that.
Yeah, all that is kind of still being worked out at this time, and we'll know for sure here over the next several weeks.
All right, fair enough. You know, it would be a great thing to do. I don't know I really don't know any of your staff, and our listeners might not. Can you give us a little heads up on the guys that you put on your staff here and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I somebody taught me a long time ago in business, and I think I said this at my press conference. Can't remember if I did or didn't, but you don't necessarily have to be the smartest one in the room, but you better have the smartest room.
Mm-hmm. And
I have a world-class basketball staff that I say all the time I wouldn't trade for the Boston Celtics, LA Lakers, you name it. They are loyal, they're smart, they're tenacious, they're hardworking, they have huge hearts, they're great with young men, they're organized, they are phenomenal at what they do. Brian Kloman's been with me 12 years, he's our defensive coordinator, he huge heart, great recruiter, phenomenal on the floor. Mike Kay, I don't even know if I can say Mike, talk about Mike yet, because as he's international and there's some decent things that have to get finalized, it just takes a little bit more time. But you know, he'll be coming soon. So I didn't even say his last name. So hopefully, okay. I didn't get in trouble in any way, shape, or form.
But, you're good.
Thomas Carr was with me at Charleston. Same thing. Just a unbelievably respected coach around college basketball. Great recruiter. Great mentor. Terrific on the floor. Ronnie Hamilton, who came to us from LSU. He was at Ole Miss before that. He was at Middle Tennessee State before that with Kermit Davis when they became one of the best programs in all mid-major basketball, then went to Ole Miss and LSU. Ronnie's terrific coach, terrific person. And Mitch Johnson, our director of basketball operations, future coach, great basketball mind, unbelievably organized. Braden Connor comes from the greatest high school in the United States of America, Elder High School, the Panthers, Altiora, who's our video coordinator. His dad is actually the athletic director at Thomas More College in Northern Kentucky. Jermaine Ukegbu, who is an assistant coach for us, was a captain for me at Winthrop, one of the smartest, most tenacious, nasty defenders that I've ever coached. So strong in his faith, phenomenal young man, great mentor. Eli Foy, who I believe is the single best sports performance strength coach in the United States of America.
Wow.
And he's a game changer for us. There's no strength coach that is more valued by a head coach. He is also my chief of staff, which is crazy. How many strength coaches around the country are the chief of staff for their head coach? His ability to connect with young men, move their hearts. You see transformation of the bodies of the players that we've had over the last several years, even grad transfers that come in for 1 year, makes them stronger, changes their body composition, keeps them healthy, and makes them more athletic than they've ever been before. Secret weapon. And I'm trying to think who the heck.
Oh, Peyton Siva. What about Peyton Siva?
Are you kidding me? Peyton Siva.
Yeah.
Maybe the most decorated player in the history of Louisville basketball. I mean, obviously, there's guys that have gone on and had longer NBA careers and things like that. But when you talk about one of the most beloved Cardinals of all time, and a lot of it is just because his makeup and his DNA, he was a great player. He's a McDonald's All-American. He was a national championship point guard. But his personality and his energy is infectious. He's beloved by the basketball alumni at the University of Louisville. He's beloved in the community. And just an unbelievable addition to our staff, and I'm so darn excited about him. Tom Polo, I got a couple other, another international guy who I can't talk about yet. So I'll take the hire. Sorry. And if I'm missing somebody, I'm going to be
upset. That was pretty good.
I don't know if this is all that you wanted, but
that was pretty good.
I have an unbelievable staff, and Bob, holy cow, do they work hard.
Do they all do everything, or do you partition it? Like, will they all do game prep and recruiting?
That's a great question. Great question. So, you know, the NCAA allows three off-campus recruiters, right? But then there's recruiting responsibilities that are allowed by other people on the staff that can't go off-campus to recruit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's Brian Clome and Ronnie Hamilton and Thomas Carr, elite at what they do. And we have two other assistant coaches on the floor, one being Jermaine Ukegbu. The other one is a gentleman I can't talk about yet. But we break our staff down, Bob, kind of like a full staff, where I do have defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and then kind of special teams coordinator. So Brian Cloman and Jermaine Ukegbu kind of oversee our defense. Brian's been doing that for 10 years.
Wow.
Calls our ball screen coverages in practice. That is 100% of his focus. He doesn't coach offensive concepts during practice. It's all about our defense. Jermaine, the same thing. And then offensive coordinator is the gentleman that, that has been with me a long time that isn't hired yet.
To be named, the player to be named later.
Player to be named later. I don't even know if I'm maybe because it's not a player recruit. I'm guessing I can talk about him, but I won't, just in case. So, you know, and then obviously everybody else has individual responsibilities, from the operations guys to the video guys and things like that. And we say 25 strong in an organization, and I think all great organizations can define with great clarity what their purpose is, and we say 25 strong. That's everybody you know, organization striving every day to do what they do with excellence and be the best in the country at what they do.
Well, I always like to give the listeners a chance to ask like one kind of non-basketball question. So I picked this one from the ones that our texter sent us. Texter said, could you ask Coach Kelsey, has he been surprised by anything about the Louisville community since he's been here? Pleasant surprise, he actually said what he wrote here. Anything pleasantly surprised you about your short time here in incorporating yourself into the Louisville community?
Well, it's a wonderful community, and people take so much pride in this place. There's so much love for Louisville. The people that are from here that have moved here. I mean, Pete Siva's from Seattle, and he just gushes when he talks about the fabric of this community, the closeness, the love of the University of Louisville. So I knew that going in, that it was a place with great pride and obviously passion for collegiate basketball, for Louisville basketball, and then in the state, obviously, where basketball is an absolute religion. But I will say I was actually surprised that it was at the level it was. I mean, I say all the time, man, I am no big deal. I'm Joe Bag of Donuts. I'm Harvey Sweat Sox, right, from the west side of Cincinnati. But gosh darn, I go out in the community, and it's like people's excitement for Louisville basketball, and the number of selfies I take and high fives I give, and I love it. I love it. You want to be somewhere where people are that stinking passionate, and it fires me up to no end just to know, you know, obviously, like we mentioned, last couple of years have been a little difficult around here, but when this deal gets going, you can just feel the lid getting ready to get blown off this place, and 22,000 at the Yum Center. It's just so exciting, and it fires me up, and it makes me stare at the ceiling at night, not fall asleep, to reestablish that and to get that going here in this great town.
Well, I, God willing, knock wood here, will have lots of chances to visit with you before and after games coming up this season. I look forward to it. You have made a tremendous impression early. I'm loving the kinds of players that I hear the names being bandied about. Like I said, your type, if you will. I think that it's going to be fun to watch and very successful and very effective, and your energy level is certainly infectious. So thank you for taking a few minutes for us, and I look forward to getting a face-to-face with you in the near future, Pat. Welcome aboard.
I appreciate it. I mean, I have a face for radio, so it's probably better we do radio than TV.
I do have to ask about those glasses, though, Pat. What's the deal with those glasses? What is the? Was that a fashion statement, or what was that all about?
First, they help me see. So let's start there. That's what those glasses are about. People that have impaired vision put these things called glasses on. So that's that. Now, the style of them, if you don't like them.
No, I didn't say that.
I love you and everything, Bob. I care more what my wife thinks.
No, I like them.
Attracted to me is the most important thing. She loves them. So I don't know. When I got them, I whatever the actor is, is it Reynolds? Something Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
I was looking at glasses. Ryan Reynolds. I was looking at glasses. Like, okay, what should I get? And so Lisa sent me. She goes, well, Ryan Reynolds wears kind of glasses that are a little bit out there, and it might be going out on a ledge that maybe a little bit too far. And I said, what the heck? I'll try them. And it's kind of become my thing a little bit. So I got crushed at the press conference because I adjusted them too much. Everybody kept saying, tighten your dang glasses. And I'm like, mind your dang business, you know? So I did head out the lens crafters. I'm giving them a little shout out. I have no idea why. They give me no type of kickback. They tighten these bad boys. I ordered another one, and we'll see. Some people are like wearing them around town. I saw a stinking T-shirt with PK's glasses on them with the word Revival on it.
Nice. If you could tell me I could wear a pair of glasses and make my wife think I look like Ryan Reynolds, I mean, I'd wear feathers in my hair. I don't care. That's in strong play out of you. So good work. That's all I can tell you. So, all right, buddy.
The only one that worries me a little bit. She always thinks he's really cute. It drives me nuts.
Come on.
He's a good friend of mine. That's my guy. But, like, we used to have him come to speak to our kind of preseason kickoff deal at Charleston, but I kind of nixed that because Lisa kept mentioning.
Wait a minute. You're friends with Ryan Reynolds?
No, Jay Billis.
Oh, big Jay Billis. Jay Billis doesn't wear glasses like that. Ryan Reynolds does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how we went down that wormhole, but we'll get out of it now.
Where are we going right now?
And we're going to say goodbye to you and let you get back to work. Thank you, my friend.
It was fun, though.
It was a pleasure. Absolute pleasure to have you on.
Go Cards. L's up. See you guys soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks again.
See you.
Yeah. When did Jay Billis get in that discussion? I thought he said Ryan Reynolds.
No. There was a split second. I think you guys talked over each other.
But he did say Ryan Reynolds.
He said
though, right?
Ryan Reynolds okay. was.
Well,
yeah,
I thought
but then,
I
want
to make sure
Jay
that
Billis...
he didn't originally say Ryan Reynolds.
No.
He said,
then...
if he said Jay Billis at the very first thing, I interpreted it as Ryan Reynolds. I know disrespect. No. Jay's a fine looking man, but
well,
it's...
does Jay? I feel like I've seen Jay with glasses occasionally. Does he ever rock the?
I don't think the Clark. Those are my. I call them the Clark Kent glasses.
The Clark Kent glasses. Yeah. I look. I need an eye exam. I might be getting some
well,
PKs.
I mean, his
I
wife,
might be getting some PK glasses.
That was a great line. It was like, dude, I didn't even say I don't like him, but it's true. Even if I did say that, your wife says, you know, Ryan Reynolds wears those. What the? You kidding me?
Yeah, right.
Your wife's going to see you in an with a Ryan Reynolds filter. I don't care. What do you need? A cantaloupe on my head? Sure, not a problem. What do you need? That's not even a problem. So
that was awesome.
No, he's a good guy. He's good. He's good peeps. He's good peeps.
What a sign off too.
Didn't even,
he knows what to do. Just go cards, L's up.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's get back to it.
You call me a Louisville legend.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that made him lose credibility.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know if I like this guy anymore.
that's
his eye for talent. I don't know.
you can mock it if you want recruiting. To. I'm not thinking of being falsely modest, but I mean, he may very well, I mean, all the games I've done, everything, he probably knows at least my name, but. I'm always impressed when people go on radio shows and they take – I try to do that. I get a little pad. In fact, write it down. When you're on a station somewhere, I don't really know who the hosts are.
Right.
So you write down. I always ask, who am I on with today? You know, it's Ted and Margarita. Okay. So I put that down. So
right.
I come on and they say, Bob, thanks for being with us. You can say, hey, Ted, Margarita, nice to be with you today. Because I always like that. You know, I always give you that look when the guy signs off with us and says, okay, guys, thanks. And I go, yeah. Bago. He's a bago.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, he doesn't know.
Take 2 seconds to learn it. It's one, two syllables. Bob, Nick. You know, that's all it is.
Learn but, yeah, you know what? Let me grant you your argument. Like, the fact that he acknowledged little me speaks volumes to who he is
that's
as a person.
That's what I mean. He's a good guy. He's good peeps. And I'm telling you, though, the man's got a vision of how he wants to play. And I'm digging the kinds of guys he's bringing in.